Today's scripture is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
On your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
Well, we are kicking off our Advent series today here at St. Luke's, and I'm just going to name the elephant in the room. No, it's not technically Advent yet. Okay, so if you're a church calendar purist, first of all, I want to say we should probably be friends. Be great. We have a lot to talk about. But also, I know you might be like cringing just a little bit and thinking it is not Advent. Advent starts next week, and you're right. You're right. But let me tell you something. Advent is weird this year, okay? Normally, you have four solid Sundays. It leads us up to Christmas Eve. We talk about waiting. We talk about hope. We anticipate the birth of Jesus, and we have a lot of time. We have a lot of space. And this year, Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, and it's on the fourth Sunday of Advent. So we're messing with the schedule. It's true. We're starting a week early. But let me ask you, how many of you out here put your Christmas trees up before Thanksgiving? Yeah, look, someone raised their hand before I even finished that sentence, because you are proud. You are proud. And I know some of you get judged for it. I know you do. But here's what I want to say. You also have extra weeks of fun. And so that's what we're doing this Advent. We have an extra week of joy and fun and Advent together. So I'm really excited about this series because the focus of this series this year is on those names of Jesus, those names that Isaiah said in his prophecy that you heard in the Advent candle lighting, that you heard, not lighting, we didn't light it, it's not Advent yet, in the Advent reading that you heard in our scripture. We're going to be looking at those names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, these were names that Isaiah spoke about a Messiah, this person that people were looking for to bring healing and hope. But what's amazing about these words is that we're still talking about them. And those words might sound really familiar to you because every year at Christmas, we read them. We associate them with Jesus, even though that was centuries after Isaiah spoke, even though it was in a different time and place, those words still tell us one truth, that God is at work, that God was at work when Isaiah spoke, that God is at work when Jesus was born, and God is at work here and now. And so as we get ready to look at the first name that Isaiah talks about today, let's pray together. God, we need that reminder that you are at work, that you are present. God, sometimes the world does feel like a dark and difficult place. But you invite us to remember that you are full of light, that you are full of hope, that you are full of wonder. So God, help us today, as we look at this text, as we look at this name, to remember who you are and how you work and who you call us to be. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we start off today, I want to show you a series of pictures. And as we look at these pictures, I just want to invite you to pay attention to how you feel, maybe what memories these images bring up for you, or just the experience that you're having. So the first picture we're going to look at, the Grand Canyon. Our next picture is Yosemite Valley. Our next picture is Niagara Falls. And then our final picture is a picture from the Hubble telescope. Now, if you look at any of these photos, or if you've been to the first three places, I'm guessing none of you have been to this last place, but if you've been to any of those first three places, you know certain feelings that come up when you see those things, when you experience those things. And it might be hard to name that feeling, but I think maybe the best word to use to describe those experiences is wonder. You know, I remember the first time that I actually went to Yosemite National Park when we lived out in California. Now, when you go to Yosemite, you drive through these windy roads to get to Yosemite Valley, and there's this really thick forest, and you can kind of see these granite cliff sides peeking out from the trees, and that's really cool, because especially if you grew up in Indiana, you're like, I have never seen this before. This is amazing. But then you get to the valley. And hopefully you find a parking spot, which is a real challenge these days. But if you get your car parked and you get out and you start walking, it's just like you are surrounded by all of this amazing stuff. It's like over there, it's Bridal Veil Falls. Over there, it's El Capitan. Right in front of you, it's like it's the North Face. And you're not on someone's jacket. Like, you're a real thing. It's a real thing in real life. And I remember when we went, I was just so overcome by how awesome it was. I was, like, doing this little, like, jog thing. I don't know. Zach was there. He saw it. And I was just like, wow, wow. Is this real life? I mean, it was a lot. It was probably a little embarrassing to the people I was with. But I was just overcome with this feeling. And the only word I can use to describe that feeling is wonder. And so I'm curious for us today, when was the last time you felt that kind of wonder? When was the last time you had that kind of feeling? You know, my guess is it's probably been a little while, because most of our lives are not set up for wonder. I mean, most of our lives involve we wake up, we hit snooze if you're me, we try to go to the gym, we try to get the kids out and ready and onto their day, we get to work, we have like our reports and our things to do, and then we come home and the dishes are just waiting again because there's always dishes in the sink. I mean, that's our life over and over, not to mention the next 6 weeks are gonna be wild. They're gonna be busy. They're gonna be so full of stuff. So it can be hard to figure out what role does wonder play in our everyday lives. And that's not to mention if we look at the bigger picture around us, if we look at what's going on in the world. You know, as I was writing this sermon, I actually had a couple of moments where I thought, can we even talk about this? Like, is it actually okay to talk about something like wonder and to say that we're longing for wonder when I scroll through my newsfeed and I just see tragedy? I just see sadness. I just see pain. Like, is it a selfish pursuit to say, God, I want to see something that looks like wonder? So I think that's the tension that we're living in right now as we talk about this first name, as we talk about this topic. And I think if we're gonna wrestle with this question and the role that wonder plays in our lives, going back to this scripture that we heard today is a pretty great place to start. You know, if we look at what was going on in Isaiah's world, and I'll tell you, just full disclosure, I debated on if we should cut that scripture down. Because that scripture gets a little dark. I don't know if you heard it, right? It goes into images of war and suffering. And I was like, oh, I don't know if people want to hear that the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Like, I don't know. But we need to hear it. We need to know that that was Isaiah's world that he was working in. That was his context. You all know context is my favorite thing to talk about. That was where Isaiah was. And if you've ever read the book of Isaiah, first of all, it's long, okay? It's a long one, but it's so good. And it really spans like three very distinct periods of time. So the first part of Isaiah that we read out of today, that is a person speaking on behalf of God saying, hey, stop what you're doing, my friends. Stop what you're doing, turn the other way, do something different. Like, bad things are going to happen if you don't follow God and do things differently. The middle section of Isaiah sees the people in the consequences of not making that change. And then the end of Isaiah is a little bit of hope. It's when God comes to the people after they've been exiled, after they've gone through this really hard thing, and God says, look, I know you're hurting. I know your story is full of pain, but actually hope is possible. And so if you ever read through this book, I just want you to know that, because there are some heavy moments. There are some hard things that people go through. I mean, it tells the story of just some devastating things happening in the story of the Israelites. So it's not light and easy reading. But what it is it's a story of God showing up with people in one of the darkest, hardest times of their lives. So why am I telling you all this background on Isaiah? I want you to know this because that is the backdrop in which Isaiah has the audacity to talk about wonder. That is the place that Isaiah says wonder matters. He looks at the people as they are on this crash course with destruction, and he says, look, hope is possible. Light is possible. Something good can happen to us. Someone is going to come along and fulfill all these promises we've been waiting for, and I want to tell you about him. I want to tell you what he's going to be like. And he names all of these characteristics, and the first thing he says about this person, about this hope, is he says, this person will be called a wonderful counselor. A wonderful counselor. Now, I think for us as we read this, this is probably not a term that we use very often. A wonderful counselor. Like, have you told one of your friends that they are a wonderful counselor? Probably not, right? So we don't use this term a lot. And so I actually want to break down the meaning of this name for you, because I think it's important that we understand what Isaiah's getting at. So there's a few layered pieces to it. And the first is maybe the most obvious. So back in that day, kings would have people called advisors or counselors. And these were people that would help them make the right decisions. They could bounce ideas off them. They could sort of correct the kings if they were headed the wrong way. If you need a modern example of a counselor, I'd like to draw your attention to Zazu from The Lion King. So if you've seen The Lion King or the entire franchise, you know this is the most stressed out bird you have ever met in your life. And it's for good reason, because Zazu spends his whole life following these people in charge around, trying to get them not to mess things up, right? He's like, listen to me, Simba, I'm flying, trying to catch up with you. Please don't do that thing that I told you not to do for the 100th time. So that was the job of a counselor. It wasn't easy. It wasn't maybe manageable work, but it was important. It was important to at least try to keep things headed in the right direction. So that piece of this name might make the most sense to us. But there's more underneath that. Wonderful counselor. See, if we look into the Hebrew, which is what this was originally written in, we find all kinds of layers to this name. And one of the first layers we find is this idea of being a doer of wonders or one who plans wonder. So basically, this person, however they acted, whatever they did, it would somehow evoke that feeling in the people they were around. Maybe they were so good. Maybe they were so just. Maybe they were so fair or so kind. I don't know exactly what that would look like, but they would do something that would make people sort of stop and take notice and say, wow, this is different. I see God's wonder on display through this person. But the other layer to this name, the other meaning to this word, is that this person would do these acts of wonder as a great act of intercession. Now, intercession is a very churchy vocab word, okay? So we're gonna break that down a little bit. Intercession simply means you do something on behalf of someone else. It's not for you, it's for somebody else. And if we put all those things together, we have this really amazing description of a person. We have someone who is probably wise, someone who's probably very just, someone who is creating these amazing experiences, and the most important piece is that they're doing it for other people. They're not just doing it for their own good, it's on behalf of someone else. So Isaiah is saying this person is gonna be different. They're not going to be just looking out for them. They're going to be looking out for you. They're going to be looking out for us. They're going to put someone else's well-being before theirs. And I think that's kind of an interesting way to think about this idea of wonder. Because what that implies to me is that this isn't just something that happens around us or something that happens to us, but it's something that can be very intentionally created. And as I think about us, and if we're people who want to reflect God, if we're people who want to live like Jesus, if we're people who want to live out our mission as a church and find and give hope in this world, then what that tells me is that we get to be people who can be part of the wonder that God is creating. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to fix every problem, right? That doesn't mean we're going to heal every pain. Those are going to be realities that we live with. But I think what it does mean is that we become more than people that just watch our lives go by and hope that wonder is going to show up. I really think that's why, even in the pain and turmoil and chaos of Isaiah's world, and there was a lot of that in Isaiah's world, I think that's why he leads with this idea of wonderful counselor. Like, I really want to wrap our heads around that. He could have started with any description here, but he leads off with wonder. He says it matters that we believe this is still possible. It matters that even when we have pain, even when we have sorrow, that we believe that God can show up and do something that takes us by surprise. According to Isaiah, wonder isn't foolish. Wonder isn't a waste of time. Wonder is part of how healing and hope happens. And not only does God show up and create that, but we get to be part of creating that too. You know, if God was creating it then, and I really believe that God still creates that wonder now, then I have to believe that wonder still has the right to grab our attention. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes the things that grab my attention right now do not feel very wonderful. I mean, most of what I see is pain. You know, most of the news that I hear is bad, it is hard, and sometimes I forget that wonder can even happen. And that's something I worry about for us, because I think when we see all of the negative news, when we see all of the hurt of the world, we can forget that God is still at work. Now, I'm not saying that we should ignore the hard things. I don't think that that is what Jesus would do at all. I think God wants us to let our hearts be broken. I think God wants us to care about the places where there's suffering and pain. But I also think that God wants us to understand that we can do more than one thing at a time. We're able to hold that hurt and hold that grief, but also hold the possibility that God is up to something good. And if we can hold that, I think we're going to be a better version of ourselves. I think our communities are going to be better. I think we're going to show up as a truer reflection of who God is. That's part of our work as people of faith, is to let our hearts be both broken and let ourselves step into places of healing. You know, it makes me think about a restaurant. I know, a restaurant that I got to go to this past year. It's called 9th Street Bistro. It's up in Noblesville. And I will preface this story by saying this is 100% a special occasion restaurant, okay? But we went there last year, and it was a meal that was just full of wonder for me. I mean, it was like the food was so good, the people were so nice, everyone around us was so happy, and I'm an empath, so like I pick up on that. And I was like, there's just so much joy in this room. I might have cried a couple of times during the meal because I was just overwhelmed. And Zach will tell you, he was like, I cannot take you out in public. Like, this is a lot. We are at a restaurant. You are full of all the feelings. But I told you, when I experience wonder, I experience it. And I experienced it there. But I'm telling you about this wonder moment because when I think about how this place started, I think wonder was probably the furthest thing from the owner and chef's mind. See, Chef Samir and Rachel Muhammad, they moved to Indy from Denver. And they moved here because Rachel's family was from here. They wanted to start a restaurant together. They had this beautiful vision of community and food and all these great things. And they signed the lease and started renovations in January of 2020. I know, like worst timing ever. And you all can work with the timeline here. So you know that 3 months later, just as they were wrapping up, just as they were ready to launch, COVID came. And so now they were in this position where they said, okay, we uprooted our lives, we moved across the country, we had this dream, but now we don't even know if this dream will ever be a reality. I mean, none of us knew. We didn't know what the world would be like in 6 months after March of 2020. And so they did the two things they knew how to do best. They made good food, and they made space for people to feel cared for. They started something called Supper Club, and this was very simple. Like, they made meals to go, they packed them up, people could order them, and they could reheat them at home. But what they did with Supper Club is they created community. They created points of connection. They made it so people could safely leave their homes and see other people and eat good food and have something that felt a little bit like normal. They took a moment of survival, and they created so many moments of wonder from that place. And I just think if we want to do this, if we want to be part of this wonder creating that God has done and does and will do, all we have to do is pay attention to what we have and show up with it. All we have to do is be willing to take a little bit of a risk and put ourselves out there and say, God, this is what I've got, and this is what I care about, and I trust that you're going to help me make something wonderful in this place. And so my invitation for you this week, I've got two, and I want to tell you, these are simple invitations, okay? Some of you just got very stressed out because you're like, you're about to invite me to do something. It is almost December. And look, I looked at my schedule for the next 3 weeks too, and I needed like a fainting couch, okay? Like, it is busy. I get it. I'm not going to make you more busy with these invitations. But I've got two invitations I want you to take from this place as we think about this idea of wonder. So the first one is this. Let yourself experience wonder. And here's why I say this. We can have a great conversation about creating wonder, but if we don't know what wonder is, it's really hard to create it for someone else. So let yourself pay attention this Advent. Look for those moments. Maybe it is with friends or family. Maybe it's something that a kid in this community says to you. Maybe it's just the fact that you hit every single green light on the way to work and you're not late, okay? Like, we write that stuff off. We reach for cynicism. We're like, oh, okay, well, it's just Tuesday. No, let yourself feel that joy. Let yourself feel that wonder. Let yourself be on the lookout for God. What are you doing in this midst? Because I think once you start to look for that, you start to see it more and more and more. And the second invitation is to create wonder for someone else. Now, again, I'm not adding to your list. I am not telling you to make a custom craft for every neighbor on your street, okay? I would never ask you to do something like that. I wouldn't. But I'm asking you, where you show up in the next few weeks, look for ways that you can create wonder in that space. You know, I was thinking about my own schedule. Again, I said I looked at it and I was like, ooh, okay. But one of the things on my schedule in the coming weeks is I'm going to this middle school parent advisory meeting. I know, you all wish you could live this exciting life. But I'm going to this meeting, and this meeting is scheduled for the middle of December, and I'm like, I have some questions about this, but I thought about this meeting, and I'm like, we are going to be sitting, all these parents, in this middle school media center. We're going to be tired. We're probably going to be stressed out. We're going to be trying to do some good business of trying to open a new middle school next year. And I thought, what would it look like in that place to create some wonder? Would it look like just looking someone in the eye and saying, hey, tell me about your week. How are you doing? How are you hanging in there? Would it look like just listening and smiling? Would it look like participating in the group exercise so the facilitator doesn't get frustrated? Like, I don't know what that looks like, but it can happen there. And I think that's the point. We don't have to go far away. We don't have to create something special. Wherever you show up, that's where you can create wonder. That's where you can create wonder on someone else's behalf. That's how you can live out this hope that we find in this scripture. You know, the prophet Isaiah believed that wonder was possible for his time, even though it was hard, even though it was painful, even though it was complicated. He believed that wonder was possible for his time. And I believe that wonder is possible for us too. You know, whether we're grieving or we're worrying, or we're hoping, or we're raging, or whatever we bring to the table this Advent, I believe that wonder has a place in the mix of all of those things. And you know, that is the power of this whole wonder thing. Because wherever you find yourself this Advent, whatever your life looks like, whatever activities you're doing, whatever you're longing for, wonder has a place right there. Let's pray. God, we pray that we would be people who can embody this idea of creating wonder. God, that we would remember that you show up and you do this work and you tell us that we get to be part of it. So God, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spirits to just listen to you. And that God, when we sense you, when we hear you, when we know that you are inviting us to something, that God, we would have the bravery and the heart to respond. Jesus, invite us into your wonder this Advent season.